Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in our modern world, especially in the political sphere, many politicians have learned a great lesson. And that is, if you scare people, you can pretty much get them to hand over power to you. And so ever since the 1950s, there has been one scare tactic after another, one terrible thing after another that is surely going to bring civilization to an end if we don't do something about it. You see, what they do in the political sphere is they ape the last days. They create an apocalypse, but it's a different kind of an apocalypse than the real one. This is an apocalypse that we can prevent if you let us tax you enough, and if you hand over your freedom to us so that we can control your life. Then we can, whatever the problem is, whether it's the population explosion, or whether it's the fresh water problem, or whether it's global cooling, or then later global warming, or whatever the little shtick that came along that politicians use in order to scare you so that they can control you, and we happily go, oh yeah, we don't want the world to explode. So we fork over our tax money to these people who have, first of all, no intention of using that money for the stated purpose. And secondly, even if they did, if such a problem existed, which it doesn't, all right, which it doesn't, they couldn't fix it anyway. Let me tell you something. If the last days are upon us, nobody's going to stop nothing. All right? That's one thing you have to understand. All right? So politicians have learned something about controlling people. You need a last days scenario. You need some kind of end of days story. And if you push that story, you can scare people into fisting over their money to you. Right? Now, why do I say this? Because if you will just take a notice of this, Jesus describes the end of the world. But he doesn't describe it for the purpose of filling you with fear. He describes it in order to fill you with joyful expectation. There's an entirely different motivation. All right? So he says, there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and upon earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So what's going to happen? Just before the second coming of Christ, the world will begin to come apart at the seams. And all of those who are living in impenitence and sin and the rejection of Christ the Redeemer, by their own lack of faith and their own failure to heed the word of Jesus, their hearts will fail them for fear, and there will be distress of nations with perplexity as everything becomes unzipped and everything begins to fall apart and dissolve itself. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up on the scene with power and great glory. Now that's what the world will do. It will the world's hearts will fail them for fear on that day. But it is not God's intention that that should happen. God's intention is that everyone should listen to His Word and be filled with faith and expectation. So immediately after the Lord Jesus describes a very fearsome thing, He says this, "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." See, the purpose of the last day scenario for the children of God is not to scare us into submission. It is to fill us with the joyful expectation of final victory and vindication and glory. It's good news that Jesus will return to judge the quick and the dead. It is good news for the Christian who knows what God's intention in all of these things are. So, He says, look up. While everybody is covering their heads and looking down, Christians are able to look up. And He says, lift up your heads. The lifting up of the heads is a sign of great relief, a sign that salvation has come, a sign that you are delivered. To lift up your head is a positive sign that what you have hoped in, what you have longed for, what you have yearned for and prayed about and believed when everybody else was mocking you for it, it is coming to pass for you. And so you are able, when everybody else is running to cast themselves into holes in the ground, you are standing there upright, looking up and lifting up your head in the joyful, confident expectation that all of the dissolution of the world that is happening before you is a sure sign that Jesus is coming. And when He comes, He will bring your final redemption. Now let me explain that briefly. Your final redemption. Are you not already redeemed? Yes, you are. Jesus has already paid for all of your sins. You are already forgiven of your sins through faith in Jesus Christ. But you possess these things in this world now by faith, not by sight. You don't see the forgiveness of sins. You believe in the forgiveness of sins. So you are in possession of your redemption, but you possess it by believing the word of the gospel. The word says that you are redeemed. You know, you don't feel redeemed all the time, do you? I'm feeling awfully redeemed today. You know, why? If I felt any more saved, my hair would stand straight out on my head. Oops, mine already does. The idea is, you don't feel these things. You receive them because the word of the gospel tells you of them and assures you that it's yours. And you rejoice and you are filled with expectation because of the gospel, but you don't see it. Sometimes it looks like the world is winning and you're losing. Sometimes it looks like God, you know, the way tribulation comes into your life and loss comes into your life, it looks like God has forgotten about you. Sometimes it appears that way. He hasn't, not for a second, not for a moment. But sometimes it appears that way. We walk by faith and not by sight. But when Jesus comes back to judge the living and the dead, The redemption that you now possess in faith, you will then possess in all of its fullness, in the fullness of experience and in the consummation of the kingdom of glory. And there will be no more cross-bearing. There will be no more tribulation. There will be no more waiting. It will there be for you in all of its fullness and without fail whatsoever. Jesus says, listen, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And therefore, you are invited to believe the gospel, to believe that you are already in possession of the fullness of redemption, but that you are still waiting for its consummation to be enjoyed. And that will take place, and you will receive it joyfully and happily on the day when everyone who has failed to believe it, their hearts will be failing them for fear, but yours will be joyfully receiving Jesus and all the fullness of his benefits. Because his word cannot fail. It cannot pass away. All right. Now the other thing I wanted to mention in our text today is that Jesus, knowing the tendency of our lives, he knows that we are tempted. He knows that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus knows this. And so he says in verse 34, he says, take heed to yourself. Pay attention to your life. All right? Pay attention to your motivations. You know, sometimes the devil catches us by surprise because he uses things that we never thought he could use as a tool to distract us from the faith. All right? Something that's seemingly innocent, something that the world thinks is just wonderful, and all of a sudden we have been grabbed by Satan and pulled down into the pits of slime. And we wonder, how in the world did I get down here? Well, you weren't paying attention. You weren't taking heed. You allowed yourself to be bamboozled by the devil, and now you're in the pits stinking. Jesus says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overburdened with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Surfeiting means, you know that feeling of nausea that you get when you've eaten too much? Right? That full, pukey feeling? That's surfeiting. Right? And drunkenness, you all know what drunkenness is. You don't need a lesson in that. And the cares of this life. Sometimes we get drunk on worry. You know, we may not touch a drop of alcohol, but we guzzle anxiety. We guzzle it. It's the booze that we really think that, you know, if I put myself through living hell by being anxious about stuff, if I do that, surely I must be accomplishing something. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, you don't accomplish anything by worrying about anything. Anything that you're worried about, guess what? It doesn't need your worry, right? And God doesn't need your worry, all right? And by worrying, you are not helping yourself and you are not fixing the problem. You are only allowing your faith to be dragged through the mud. Alright? You don't need to worry. You don't need to worry. You don't need to be weighed down by the cares of this life. Because you have a God who has promised to help you in every need. And there is no need too big or too small for God to come to your aid, to show you the way, and to help you in time of need. You have no need to worry. You have a big God with a big grace, and it is for sinners like you and like me. All right, so he says, don't let your hearts be burdened down with too much celebrating, too much booze, too much anxiety. All right, don't let these things weigh you down so that your faith falters, and then when the day of Christ comes, you end up like all those frightened people whose hearts are failing them for fear, instead of being among the saints who look up and lift up their heads. You are cringing in fear like an unbeliever because you've allowed your heart to be stolen away by the devil. You didn't watch. You didn't take heed. And so now, as a snare that day shall come upon them that dwell on the whole face of the earth. So watch therefore. You know, don't be naive. The devil has a million tricks in his bag. And the world is not, listen to me now, I know you hate this. The world is not on your side. Alright? And all those so-called Christians who have forsaken their churches, they're not on your side either. Alright? They're not on your side either. Don't be naive. Jesus said that one of the things of the last days is that parents will be betrayed by their children. Oh, that's not pleasant. No, it's not. And that mothers will be betrayed by fathers. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Don't be naive. Watch. Watch. And pray always so that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So easy to get tricked. It's so easy to have the world put its arm around you and say, oh man, listen, I'm your pal. Right? And it's so easy to have that old Adam inside of you going, do it, do it, do it. Yeah, just do it, do it. You know you want it, do it. That's what the old Adam, he ain't your friend. You gotta kick that bum back in the grave. He keeps clawing his way out. You gotta kick him back in. He's not your buddy. He's your enemy. Right? So you got the old Adam. He wants to be your buddy. Do it, do it, do it. Whatever it is you're doing, do it, do it. And then you got the world saying, listen, you know, I know you're religious and all that, but you know, can't we be friends? No! St. John said, friendship with the world is enmity with God. You're either a friend of God's or you're a friend of the world. You're not a friend of both. So, watch. Watch and pray always that you might abide in the faith and not be deceived by the world, the flesh, and the devil. They're working overtime. They want you on their team. You got to stay with Jesus. Remember, the world cannot redeem you. It can only perish with the ungodly. But Jesus can and will redeem you, and he gives you this promise that whoever sees the world falling apart can look up and lift up their heads. Because what all of that means is that your redemption is drawing near. And that, my friends, is something that will never prove false. It will always prove true. Because Jesus said, my words will never pass away. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.